One of the first things I ever signed up for as a young boy was to be a member of the science fiction book club. You join and they send you a truckload of sci-fi classics, and then each month a new work from a lesser-known author. Any of those authors would have dreamed to have the reputation of Ray Bradbury. It was a great experience, and it was how I met Ray Bradbury, on the page. The legendary author has died at age 91, and with him dies an imagination that sparked the imaginations of so many readers. My first book of his was from that book club, called The Illustrated Man, a collection of short stories told as moving images on a fantastical tattooed man whose tattoos became stories and worlds. Ray Bradbury, ahead of his time. Fahrenheit 451, the story of an undying book in a time of totalitarianism. The Martian Chronicles, which imagines Mars from a Martian's perspective. A genius, a humanist, an amateur scientist whose favorite planet, you might say, was the mind itself. We wanted to speak to Kim Stanley Robinson, science fiction writer known for his award-winning Mars trilogy, but a man who was born in Waukegan, Illinois, the same hometown of Ray Bradbury. What an extraordinary loss, eh?
Yes, I'm sad to hear it.
And just describe from your standpoint as a science fiction writer what Ray Bradbury brought to the page and did for the imagination.
Well, he was one of the first to take all of the science fiction ideas of the 1930s pulp magazines and focus on the human emotions that would be generated by these story ideas more than the first wave had, because they were so excited by the ideas themselves. And I think the question he kept asking was, what would it feel like to go through these experiences? And he had a very close attention to the emotional states of the people involved in these fantastical situations.
And in many ways, by imagining how humans would respond in the circumstances of the sci-fi worlds that were being created by some of the earlier authors, his predecessors, by imagining that dislocation, asking those questions, he really creates a portrait of modern humanity, dislocated by technology. So much of his characters are so current.
Yes, he got it that most of the science fiction ideas are good metaphors for current situations, and so since he felt that himself and was really ambivalent about technology and our move off the planet into space, he kept thinking about the losses that might be entailed in that. And so he was very fond of the sort of ordinary life of a small town in 1940s, a kind of glorified Midwestern town that you see like in Something Wicked This Way Comes, where the carnival comes by. He's grounded in an older America, and he was a Los Angeles boy. I mean, like I share his life story to a certain extent in that we were both born in Waukegan, Illinois, which I'm very proud of as a kind of magical token. And both our parents moved us out to Southern California to the Los Angeles basin when we were boys. So he had an ambivalent relationship to the car as a result, which makes sense, and in general was fond of older time.
You know, it's fascinating that you say that, because as a young boy in the time when he grew up, a trip from Waukegan to L.A. must have felt like a trip to Mars.
Yes, that's a good analogy. He shifted into a completely different culture and went from a wet place to a dry place. And so that may be something that spurred him on when he wrote The Martian Chronicles.
Do you think Kim Stanley Robinson is who we're speaking with, science fiction writer known for his award-winning Mars trilogy. Do you think Ray Bradbury believed till the end that humanity could defeat technology, in the sense that our humanity will triumph as the books triumphed in Fahrenheit 451?
Oh, I'm absolutely certain of that. I've talked to him myself, and I've heard him speak several times, and his message was very consistent. He was one of the most positive people you could ever have met. He was beloved, I would say, in the science fiction community, which really is somewhat like a small Midwestern town, which means that there's a certain amount of gossip and backbiting, even though there's solidarity too. But in that community, as fierce as it could be, he was universally popular. And it was because of this enthusiasm and positive spirit that he had and conveyed very well, especially to young audiences. He was truly an inspirational speaker.
Did he have sci-fi super fans like some others in this small sci-fi world? I mean, I can't imagine people dressed up like the Martian Chronicles for him.
Well, he was in the first wave of fandom himself. He was a science fiction fan. He went to the early science fiction conventions in Los Angeles, the LA cons. And so he had a close relationship because he was part of it. And that happens with so many science fiction writers. But I think he predated the phenomenon that you're talking about. Everybody had read his work, and yet there wasn't a whole lot of dressing up or following him around, or he somewhat stayed off the internet. So he was very focused on books, as you know, and libraries, so that the internet was a rather late intrusion in his life, and he didn't have any of that internet phenomenon.
So no technology. He wasn't like wandering around with an iPad or a Kindle or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know him well enough to be sure, and I think he would be perfectly fine with anything that allowed you to read. But he did love books.
Did he love movies, though? Many of his stories were made into movies.
Yes, I think he did love movies. It wasn't the same thing, though, as this kind of religious devotion that he had to the written word, but he wrote the screenplay for Moby Dick, and he got a kind of thrill out of all stories. So, and being in L.A., I think he was aware of the movie industry. But I think he's like a lot of us. For him, it was always the sentences on the page that were the most magical, that the best movie screens are inside people's heads and that the best movies come out of reading black marks on a page and then having these things happen inside your head that are such powerful emotional experiences. And that's really what he focused on. I think that's why he was better as a short story writer than a novelist, so that he could distill an emotion in maybe 5 to 10 pages and make you feel it really powerfully. And that's an unusual gift. And he'll be especially remembered for short stories and for short story suites. And even Fahrenheit 451 is an extremely slender thing and began as a short story.
Well, so much magic from Ray Bradbury, who died this week at age 91. Kim Stanley Robinson, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Kim Stanley Robinson is a science fiction writer who shares the hometown with Ray Bradbury, Waukegan, Illinois.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.